What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the parade ring at Punchestown Racecourse as we look ahead to day three of this fantastic festival. And joining myself, Lee Mottershead, I have Racing Post colleagues David Jennings and Paul Keeley, and from Paddy Power, Mr. Tom Nugent. Eight races to look at then on Thursday, two Grade 1 contests, and we kick off at 3:40 with a 2 mile handicap hurdle, the JLT handicap hurdle for horses rated up to 1, 2, 3. Top weight Bolbeck, rated 1, 2, 2. 25 runners, David Jennings.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you what will start favourite and will be very well backed. So if somebody is listening and they want to back something early, Curious Times will probably open up at about 13-2. I think it'll go off at about 7-2. It could be chucked in on its form, beating Black Tears. It's only racing off 116 here. Probably has about £10 in hand, but it's one of these that will be overbet. Guaranteed to be overbet. Will be a bigger price when betting opens up than it will go off. I'm convinced it'll go off favourite. But the one that I think is going to be a bit of value is a horse called John S. That's trained by Conor Dwyer. Ran at Fairy House last week. Was third in a really competitive handicap hurdle. I thought it looked the winner most of the way. It traded at 1.46 in running. Traveled. It's hard to describe how well it traveled. It was still on the bridle coming down to the last. Got in a little bit tight to the last. And then actually stayed on again. It's going to get a fast pace. It's only up a pound to 112. Ricky Doyle takes £3 off. And I can't see that horse finishing out of the first four. It'll be a double figure price. Guaranteed to run well. If you want to back something early, back Curious Times tonight.
Was he travelling as well as Pat Adriboth and El Gran Senor in the 84 Derby, two out?
Better.
Really? Hope it goes better in the closing stages than that one did.
What year?
84.
Oh no, I was born the following November. To make the world a better place.
Some of us were born slightly before 1984.
Very old all of a sudden, yeah. No, I've been very old. I can't tell you I've gone through all the runners of this race because we didn't get the decks that long ago, and there's 25 of them that I'm not that familiar with. But I did think that Burkassa won last time. Probably wasn't much of a race, but won very, very easily. Had plenty of big field, flat handicap form. So he'll handle the big field, and I think it might go well.
You're not tempted by Blast from the Past Vanita of 118?
Just got Vanita, yeah. It was rated 160, probably not much more than a year ago. But he just seems a lost cause now, doesn't he?
Tom Nugent, have you on the 3:40?
Yeah, Mr. Keeley has stolen my thunder there. Actually, I thought Burkassa was very impressive in Ballymrobe the last time. She's by a horse called Casamento, who was tried as a flat stallion, but he's getting a lot of winners in the National Hunt sphere now, and she seems to stay quite well. And she's got a mark of 1, 2, 3, so the handicapper's obviously quite impressed, and I think she could be progressive, so Burkassa for me.
Burkassa then for two of the guys in the opening race. The second race is, again, over 2 miles, this time over fences. Pigsback.com handicap chase, in which, Paul, we have a Cheltenham Festival winner.
We have a Cheltenham Festival winner, Croco Bay, 12 years old, grand annual, 66-1. I had an absolute fortune on that horse about 4 years ago in that race.
That was an inspired 4 years before the 2019 grand annual.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
no, but not for the 2019.
Not for the 2019. No, and Ben Case, on the morning of the race in the Racing Post, he was very positive about the horse. And, you know, he had some cracking Cheltenham form. Whether he's going to do it right-handed and back that up, you'd have to doubt, is a thought. The one I like is Snugsworth Hall, and I'm going to steal DJ's thunder here because it's his bit of the day. But he was dreadfully unlucky last time. He was carried out by Mind's Eye, who's back in the race in cheek pieces. Whether that'll make him behave himself or not, we don't know. But he was going just as well, possibly even better than Impact Factor at the time. Impact Factor's won the race, gone up £6. Snugsworth's only gone up a pound. He just started to bring in some real improvement. He won his two chases previously very easily, travels beautifully, there's plenty of pace in this race. I think he's going to be set up perfectly for him.
Okay. Perfect. DJ, hold your thunder, just wait, hang on a second. Tom,
very briefly before DJ chimes in, I had a conspiracy theory that I thought Dr. Phoenix might be being laid out for a grand annual tilt at one point during the season, but sadly not the case. But I think back at 147, he hasn't ran in a handicap, but his last win was January this time last year when he ran the grade 3. He was 155 that day. He's back down to 147. I know it's a tough ask, but if he can recreate some of his old form, I think he's a chance.
Fantastic. Okay, this is a drum roll moment, and DJ, to help producer Sam, so we can do a nice little cut for Twitter. If you can preface your analysis by saying, my bet of this Punchestown Festival runs in this race, and then proceed, that will work great for producer Sam. David Jennings.
My bet of the 2019 Punchestown Festival is in the 4:15 of Punchestown on Thursday, and it's called Snugsborough Hall, number 11 on your race card.
Get away.
For the following reasons. First of all, I did an interview with Dennis O'Regan prior to the Irish Grand National meeting where he was riding Snugsborough Benny in the Irish National, ran a cracker, finished fourth. And the whole interview is about his career and, you know, how well, you know, he was hoping to win the Grand National on Snugsborough Benny, how well that horse was, and talking about his association with Howard Johnson and all that. And then Snugsborough Hall came up and he goes, it's not just Snugsborough Benny that's been good for the recent part of my career, it's Snugsborough Hall too. He's a proper horse with a big handicap in him, and I think this big handicap is today. I don't think he just would have won that race at Fairyhouse. I think he would have bolted up. I don't think he would have came off the bridle. He was travelling so sweetly. Dennis O'Regan snuck up the inside, he jumped terrifically well, and then it was just a disaster, really. I felt so sorry for Dennis. He was taken out by Mind's Eye. He's gone up a pound. I think he would have went up about 8 for winning that day. That's how easily I thought he would have won. So if that's the theory, he's £7 well in. The way this race is going to be run is going to suit him so well. I think the track will actually suit him better than Fairyhouse, because I think he's got loads of toe. I think it's going to be set up for him. I'll be bitterly disappointed if he's beaten. The one worry I have is a horse called Don't Touch It, who is a Grade 1 winner at Punchestown, who is a winner at the Punchestown Festival. I think it's this actual very race. So he is dangerous off a sliding mark of 145. If money did come for that and he was fancied, he could prove to be chucked in. But it's a big if. He hasn't shown it for a long time. And Snugsborough Hall is my banker of the week.
And speaking of money, what's the lowest price you would take about Snugsborough Hall?
Snugsborough Hall will be somewhere between 9-2 and 13-2, I'd say.
Can you guarantee that, Tom?
I can't guarantee anything that David Jennings says. Of course I can't. It'd be legally just a disaster for me personally, I think.
We don't want you to be in a disastrous situation. So Snugsborough Hall then, DJ's bet of the Punchestown Festival in the 4:15 on Thursday. The 4:50 on Thursday is a race that, how could you not love? It's the Latouche Cup. Tom Nugent, are you a big fan of the Latouche?
I love the Banks races. I think it's part of the kind of grassroots of what National Hunt Racing is, and great tradition of Banks Racing here at Punchestown, of course. As far as what's going to win the Latouche Cup, well, Josie's Orders is kind of back to form. Not sure what price it will be closer today, but you've got some great old names in there. We've seen Ballybrooker Bridge and Imtata Supreme nearly every year here since David Jennings was a child, so I don't know what's going to win. I'll leave that up to the professionals.
Paul.
When it comes to Banks races, cross-country races, or whatever you call them, I don't know enough about the horses, to be honest. I mean, I know plenty about Josie's Orders. He's sure to be one of the favourites, if not outright favourite, but no idea, really.
OK, we've got the Eurovision podcast coming up quite soon. You could get involved with that one if you've got more of it.
You know, my first ever piece for the Racing Post, 1989, I think it was on Eurovision.
Do you remember who won that year?
The winner, yeah.
Cool.
Do you know who it was?
1989.
Celine Dion. Well, there you go.
I think she beat the daughter or son-in-law of Bruce Forsyth into second.
Yes, can't remember his name, Scott something.
An interesting little diversion there during our Latouche Cup discussion. DJ, is it a good Latouche?
Didn't he do well?
No,
it's not a good Latouche. And Josie's Orders will be odds on. It's very simple, really. Josie's Orders, I think, will win. I think Jarrod will be second, and I think Ballyboker Bridge will be third. But Josie's Orders will be very, very short, and rightly so. I think he'll be very hard to beat. It's a strange name, isn't it, for a gelding? Josie's Orders.
Yeah. Do you know why it's called Josie's Orders?
Well, it's probably because Josie's been ordering her husband or something, but, like, right. It's a bit strange, like.
We don't know that, though, do we? I mean,
no,
Josie might
guessing.
Be lovely.
I'm only guessing, yeah.
She might be a lovely lady.
She could be, yeah.
Another interesting diversion there. We move on to the first of the Grade 1s on Thursday. The Ladbrokes Champion Stayers Hurdle. Prices, Tom Nugent from Paddy Power.
9-4, Bapome at the top of it. Oh, Petit Swan, 9-2, second favourite. 5-1, Vision Day Flow. Bacardi, 6-1, alongside, you know what I mean, Harry. 7-1, not many left, and 10-1, and bigger the rest.
Okay, before we come back to you, Paul, this is a wide open Grade 1 with no real standout star. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you think the top rated is, you know, 160 per pound, and whether he's actually really worth that 3 mile or not, I'm not sure. You've got a favourite, he probably deserves to be favourite on his fourth in the Stayers Hurdle. but he didn't get home there, and it could easily be the same again. And, you know, when I look at this race, when I look at the whole meeting, actually, I'm the sort of person that I back William Mullins' second and third strings, you know, fairly regularly. He has horses bounce back so often at this meeting, and, you know, just want to take a chance. I was saying earlier, if you'd have backed every single horse of William Mullins at this meeting last year, you'd have backed 99 losers and made a filthy profit, because he had a lot of big price winners, and he had 18 winners obviously as well, which is just remarkable. But so I'm going to take a chance on Kilaltovic. Now, we all know him as a horse who never got a chance to show how good he was, because he missed a couple of years. He had misfortunes only just over a year ago when he was going to win the Irish Gold Cup. And he hasn't been brilliant this year, and he was beaten by a low-rated rival over fences last time. But if you look back at his, when he was third to present in Percy, he was ahead behind Bapom that day, and he's 20-1, and Bapom's 9-4. To me, you know, if he bounces back, he's got form good enough to win this, and it's worth remembering that he beat Thistlecracker at this meeting in 2015 as a novice and won the Grade One there. So I'll take a chance at a big price.
Okay, Tom, speaking of Thistlecracker, I quite liked his stable companion, Vision de Flow. Is that madness?
Not necessarily, no. I think he's been quite well back now. He's 5-1, third favourite with us. Petit Swan has just literally, as I speak, joined Bapom at the top. No, he hasn't, sorry. That's a complete mistake on my phone. But anyway, Bapom is, in my opinion, the worst 9-4 favourite you'll ever see. I think I can't have him. I just can't warm to him. He won the Prix La Barca in Auteuil last June on Tre Souple, or whatever they call it in France. He needs a proper dig. As you can see, the weather here, it's drying out all the time. I wouldn't be convinced he's going to get the ground he needs. He's getting beaten by horses like Diamond Koshua last season. He was a decent juvenile. He's not a Grade 1 Open Company horse for me. I know this isn't the strongest race in the world, but I think whatever you're doing in the race, take him on.
You don't like him, but you do like...
If I was to have a bet in the race at the moment, I think I would have a bet on Petit Swan for me. He's been very, very well back, 10-1 into 9-2. We were 10-1 anti-post and we've been absolutely filled in. So Petit Swan to improve and come back to a bit of his old sparkle for me.
Brilliant. Cheers, Tom. DJ, Tom says that Bapom is the worst 9-4 show ever. Do you agree?
Yeah, I actually backed him each way in the Stairs Hurdle, and how I didn't collect, I'll never know, because he was ridden brilliantly and crept into contention, jumped the last year thinking it won't get to Paisley Park, but it might even finish second. It only finished fourth. And actually, Fahim re-rallied, if that's a word, and got back up to finish third. And I kind of said to myself, like Paul after that day, this horse doesn't really stay. And I think he's a terrible favourite. He might well win, but he's a bad favourite. Earlier on in the week, I was thinking that Petit Swan was the value. But then you just read Dan Skelton's quotes. The first thing he said after this horse won at Aintree was, we laid him out for a race like this because we didn't think he was a genuine Grade 1 horse, and it might just be the weaker of the Stayers Hurdles, which I thought was interesting. Look, he could well win. I'm not 100% certain whether he's a proper Grade 1 horse myself, and for that reason I'm ashamed of myself, but I think the value here is Bacardi's. He has to come on a ton for his run in the Stayers Hurdle. He wasn't disgraced. I think he finished 6th. That was his first run since he fell in a beginner's chase at Christmas at Leopardstown. He's great form at Punchestown, and I think you'll see a different Bapom here than the one we saw at Cheltenham. And the other one I thought was a little bit of value was Cracking Smart, who didn't run badly in the Coral Cup. He loved the ground, and he just hasn't had as hard a season as others in the race. He'll make a smashing chaser next year. My two against the field, my first choice will be Bacardi's, and my second will be Cracking Smart.
Okay, and ashamed David Jennings tips Bacardi's and Cracking Smart, and that takes us to the break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Punchestown, where the sun is warming our cheeks on a glorious Kildare morning here. And we're looking at day 3 of the festival, part 2 now, beginning with the second race of the day over 3 miles and jumping hurdles. It's the Conway Piling Handicap Hurdle. Another huge field. David Jennings, who'd you like?
I like Get a Reason here for Willie Mullins and the Sullivan Bloodstock Limited. It finished 19th of 24 behind Early Doors in the Martin Pipe, but that doesn't tell the whole story. It made two desperate mistakes early. It actually was in front at the third last. Liam Gilligan kind of just got a rush of blood to the head. I think the step up and triple certainly suit. Off a mark of 135, he's got proper graded form in novice hurdles this year. I think the race will be run to suit, and I think he's probably the best handicapped horse in the race. I think he's got loads more to offer, and don't be fooled by them form figures of 7 and 0. He's a better horse than that, so it would be Get a Reason for me.
Okay, Get a Reason for DJ in the 6.05 at Punchestown. Paul Keighley.
Yeah, funny enough, I backed him in the Mountain Pipe, and he definitely did run better than it looked there, and the trip might step up and trip might suit as well. There's another one for whom the step up will suit. As soon as I looked at this race, and I saw a few British entries in there, and I thought, you know, it's going to be hard for these horses to come over here, because if all the Irish horses went over to Britain, they'd be between 2 and 7, 8, maybe more pounds higher. But then I had a look at it, and Nicky Henderson won it in 2016, and Harry Fry won it in 2017, so it can be done. And there's a horse trained by Anthony Honeyball called AC Milan. Now, for some reason, whatever reason, this horse hasn't done what it should have done over hurdles so far, but that means he's got a mark of 125. And a mark of 125 for a horse that was capable of running almost 130 in bumpers is potentially £25 too low. He ought to be miles better. And the trainer has long said he is a 3-miler, and this is the first time he gets to go over it, and he's going to be a price, so I'm going to take a chance.
Okay, big chat there for AC Milan. Tom?
A horse that Jesse Harrington's called Discordant, who was very well fancy going to the Martin Pipe in Cheltenham, ran into 8th, and they just reckon he needs a bit more of a dig in the ground. He might get it tomorrow here. Not quite soft enough for him, but it'll be slightly softer than it would have been in Cheltenham, and I think he'll have a decent chance, and he should be a decent price. He won his maiden after finishing 8th in the Martin Pipe as well, so his horse going the right way, hopefully.
Excellent. We move on then to what I think is undoubtedly the race of the day, and in many ways one of the most fascinating races of this whole festival. At 6.40, the Ryanair Novice Chase, which brings together 4 individual Grade 1 winners from this spring so far. We've got the Arca winner, Duc de Genièvre, the JLT winner, Defi de Soy, the Ferry House Grade 1 winner, Voix du Rêve, and the Entry Grade 1 winner, Ornu. And that's just 4 of the 7 runners. Absolute humdinger. Tom Nugent, how did Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, we're quite strong at the top. Defi de Soy 7-4 alongside Duc de Genièvre, who's on the drift out from 6-4. Shaqin Porsois next in 5-1. Ornu at 8. Voix du Rêve 9s and 12-1 and bigger the rest.
Okay, Tom, you go first. How would you assess the race?
We were just talking before we came on air about how impressive Defi de Soy was in Cheltenham, and he's a bonny horse and he seems to run on and just love his job. Back to 2 miles here over a sharper track. Would you be slightly concerned? I'm not 100% certain. 7-4, like, he probably is probably one of the best novice chasers we've seen so far this year. But at the prices, I might look to take him on. I thought Ornu each way at 8-1 was a decent bet. Thought he was impressive enough in Aintree the last day. And he's by a stallion I like in Mallor, so I think he's gone the right way. So Ornu each way for me.
Okay, Ornu then for Tom. Paul, it really is a good race, this.
Without a doubt, the best races of the day by far. Probably, I'd say, you know, the second best race of the meeting, other than the Gold Cup. This is, you know, there could be some very, very, very good horses for the future in here. Duc de Genièvre, he bolted up in the Arkle, and, you know, I mean, it seemed to have come as a surprise to virtually everybody, because I gather that Patrick Mullins was telling people it shouldn't even be in the race before it, like, you know, so, you know, at preview things, and then he comes and does that. That race did seem to fall apart, so I'm not sure how solid the form is. Sometimes you get a good Arkle, sometimes you don't.
It looked a bad Arkle beforehand,
didn't it? It looked a bad Arkle beforehand, but it suddenly looked a very good winner of it, like, you know, so we will see. But Defi de Soy, you have to respect. I've called him wrong all year and he keeps winning and proving me wrong. But I'm going to take a chance on this Willie Mullins Shaqin Porsois, because I've now watched a replay of his Nace win. Was it Nace or Navan? Can't remember.
Nace.
It was Nace. I've now watched a replay of his Nace win about 5 times this morning, and his jumping was sensational. Yeah. Now, you know, you might think that was a Tuppence Halfpenny race because he was 4-9 and, you know, it was his first run for 3 years. And he might not have beaten much, but a third one next time, and the fifth was beaten 47 lengths, was actually fourth in a 50 grand Grade B handicap next time out. So it's not absolutely hopeless form by any stretch. And you know, it wasn't like they were being eased down behind, because the second and third had a battle for second and third, and he won by 31 lengths, literally just walking.
Yeah.
You know, so he has the potential to be a superstar, and as he's 5-1, I'm going to take a chance that he is.
David, were you surprised that Ruby went for Shaqin Porsois over Voix du Rêve, if we assumed that Paul Tannen was always going to keep the ride on Duc de Genièvre?
No, Paul was going to keep the ride. I think they're being pretty fair. Like, Paul keeps riding Album Photo. he's been riding Duke de Geneva most of the season, so I think it was pretty straightforward.
But were you surprised that Ribby picked this one over Voix du Rêve?
Oh, giving anyone a great one last sorry. Week? No, because I think you know what you get with Voix du Rêve. You know what he is. I think Jacques Pourceau is the unknown quantity. But Lord holy God, it's some step up from winning a beginner's chase at Nice to beating what I think is the best novice chaser at any distance this season in Defi Desai. I think that JLT form is pretty spectacular. Lost in translation is many people's idea of next year's Gold Cup winner. I've spoke to Barry Geraghty time and time again since Cheltenham about Defi Desai and before Cheltenham. And it's a long time since I've heard Barry Geraghty so sweet about a horse. A long, long time. We could even be going back to Sprinter Sacra. That's kind of what makes me think that this Defi Desai could be something special.
You have a bit of hype, don't you?
No, I'm not saying he's as good as Sprinter Sacra. As in, I haven't heard him talk so positively.
Enthusiastic.
And, yeah, no, obviously he's not as good as Sprinter Sacra. Obviously he's not near that level. But he just, I think it's more a personality thing. He thinks he gives you everything. When you want him at a certain stage in a race, like when he wanted him at the last in the JLT, by God, did he come up with a jump. They quickened really well after the last. I think 2 miles around here on softer ground is perfect for him. I think he's a good enough jumper. When you see him jumping the railway fences the way he did in the Scilly Isles, that tells you all you need to know. I think he's really lively on his feet. And I think he's the best novice chaser we've seen this season, and I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win this.
I've got to say, I thought when you preface your little homage to Defi Desai there with the words Lord Holy God, I've never heard that in a Racing Post postcast before.
No.
It was beautiful.
I can see why Paul is tipping Jacques Pourceau, and I can see why people will back it, but like, you're asking a horse to go from I know At Jury's won next time, but he was lucky to win. There was two horses taken out, and the horse that was fifth ran well, but it wasn't a good beginner's chase. Like, it was an okay race, but it wasn't a good beginner's chase. And you're asking him to beat probably the most impressive Triumph Hurdle winner we've seen in the last decade, who has proven himself to be an even better chaser, who's got form tied in with a horse like Lost in Translation. It's a huge, huge leap, and there's not that much between them in the betting. Do you know what I mean? Like, tomorrow it could be 7-2 and 5-2.
Yeah.
And I just think I think Defi Desai is the real deal.
You quite like him?
Oh, I love Defi Desai, yeah.
Do you fancy him almost as much as Snugsborough Hall?
Yeah, it's different prices and different race. Like, it's a grade one, so it's obviously a very good race. And I know Paul says I'm prone to a bit of hyperbole.
No.
But I just...
No, he's not. No.
Can you see my point on the prices, like?
He had Lorena winning the Champion Hurdle and the Gold Cup. Like, you know, it's,
not
no,
the
yeah,
same
he
week.
Loves a bit of hype. No, but he actually thought that was going to happen.
He
gets excited. No, that's good.
It's a good
actually.
Quality in a person.
It is good quality, but he's young, see, and I'm old, right? And
older,
the older you get, the more cynical you get.
Yeah.
And I'm at that stage now where I'm a total cynic, so. Yeah. There are no great horses anymore. I've seen them all.
Yeah. Did you see his tweet the other day about Altior?
No, what did he say?
He goes, that surname. What was the exact tweet?
If he runs like that against surname will eat him.
Yeah, eat him. Certainly. We'll eat Altior.
Yeah. I mean, he might have a bit of a nibble,
hey, listen,
but he wouldn't.
If he runs two more races like that, the handicapper will have no choice but to drop Altior.
Yeah.
Right? Because he hasn't beaten great horses and he's had to work really hard to do so.
The
Jinx appearing in the armour.
Think he's trying to get him handicapped for next year's pigsback.com handicap chase?
Well, you know, he wants to get him into the old roan off less than 11 stone 12.
The most falsely handicapped horse in training is Surname. Yeah. It's an utter disgrace.
Utter disgrace?
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Question Time. This is fantastic. Real heat, most of it coming from you. You're on the
road. But see, the thing is, we've got a break now for like 4 months, so none of us are going to be wrong until next November.
No.
So, like, we're all right at the moment.
Yeah. Lovely.
Hopefully everyone forgets.
They will most certainly will.
Once it's on Twitter, it never gets forgotten.
Moving on, because it's going to be first race soon. 7:15 is the Close Brothers Mares Novices Hurdle listed race. 7 runners. Paul Keely.
It's got to be a bit of a gimme for Elphile, I'd have thought. I mean, she was sixth in the Mares Novice to Eglantine Desai. 50-1 was right there, two out. Comes out next time, second to Honeysuckle. I know Honeysuckle won easy, but she probably is the best novice mare around. So, I think she'd be fairly short and she should win.
Okay, do you agree, Tom Nugent?
Not necessarily, just purely because I think Elphile would be very, very short. So I'd take a chance with Black Tears myself. Their form isn't that dissimilar. And you can often get fillies after a long season, they can fall apart. Just their last run, they mightn't be quite up to scratch. So if you caught Elfiel on a bad day, Black Tears might pick up the pieces.
Okay, excellent. Two tips then so far. DJ, you've got a different one?
I've spent the last 20 minutes arguing with Paul Keighley, but this time I'm going to agree. Elfiel, I think, is pretty nailed on here. I think she's only going to get better as well. You can see her form is progressing nicely. She should be able to beat these. It's a poor race.
DJ and Keels in agreement on the 7.15 at Punchestown in the 7.45. Just the six going in the bumper that wraps up the card. David Jennings, the winner is...
Well, I'm torn here because I've said all season, from listening to Gordon and listening to people in the yard, that Fury Road is up there, if not... probably not as good, but up there with the likes of Envoy Allen, Malone Road. That's the regard that Fury Road is held in the Elliott stable. He was workmanlike last time. Forget his run at Christmas. He's a very, very good horse. But I say that, I think the best bumper horse that Willie Mullins will run this year.
Another strong statement coming up here.
Yeah, well, it's strong enough. I'm going to count. There's a counter-attack coming as well. But I think the big getaway, when I watched the race at Navan, I said, in years to come, we're going to be talking about him as a Grade 1 chaser. I'd say Patrick would love to ride back again because things happen on the inside. The winner had experience and it kind of got first run, and then the big getaway was coming back. But he's a gorgeous big horse that was very well fancied in the same colours as Melon. When I watched the race, I said, I don't care what that horse is running against next time, he will win. Now, the problem is he's running against Fury Road, and I think both of them are very, very good. It's a cracking race. It's a small field and people will go, oh God, that's disappointing for a punch then bumper. This is a hell of a race. I think both of them could potentially be Grade 1 performers. But I do think the big getaway could potentially be something special. So it's the big getaway for me.
You're basically torn, aren't you?
I am torn. But I think tomorrow, the big getaway, we should see the real big getaway. With that run under his belt, I'd say he's held in very high regard. This is a bumper that Willie likes to win with some of his strongest horses. I think Invitation only won it a couple of years ago. Okay. I think the big getaway is very, very good.
Big word for the big getaway with respect for Fury Road.
On what Fury Road is actually, I don't know anything about the gossip, but what he's actually done on the racecourse, he is... best part of £20 behind a couple of horses in this race, at least. Yeah. And if he's a short price, I'm going to hit the lay button very hard, because I would make him probably fourth. And if he's short, I will go. Liz Doyle's Cade Boy won very, very easily on debut. Looked potentially very, very good. I don't know the merit of the form, I couldn't tell you that, but it's miles better than Fury Road, that's for sure.
As you said his name, Tom Nugent was making supportive noises.
It's not often I make supportive noises, but and your colleagues who do the Racing Post ratings have given him, I think he's the highest rated horse on Racing Post ratings in the race, obviously put up a very impressive figure in Limerick, and I think he was one of those ML Bloodstock horses that was bought by JP McManus, so if he doesn't have his team of Bloodstock advisors crunching the numbers, he very rarely gets it wrong when he buys one off the track. So Cade Boy for me in a race that will probably be overbet with the other two.
Okay. Small field, but a really good bumper to wrap up the card. And that wraps up this Monster Racing postcast looking ahead at Punchestown Day 3. And we will end with the chaps' best bets on Thursday. Tom Nugent.
Black Tears in the Mayor's Hurdle.
Paul Keighley.
I'm probably going to join Dave here, but I do like Snugsborough Hall.
Okay. And we know what David will say. Give it due fanfare, David.
Yeah, Snugsborough Hall, 4.15. Punch us 10 Thursday, not just the bet of the day, but the bet of the week.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see you back here again for our Day 4 preview. Bye-bye.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.